Welcome back to Project Independence and You, right here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. I am Rebecca Miller, your guest host, and I am also the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Services for the Aging, Project Independence, right here for the town at the town of North Hempstead. And our guest today, Barbara Melman, is our guest and co-host. So it's just she and I here right now talking with Christina hanging out in the background, telling us what to do. So, Barbara, we talked a little bit about during our brief break about the fears that people have and seniors have when it comes to technology. You talked a little bit about early on, afraid to break the machine,
afraid it's going to blow up.
But I think that the underlying fear is, I mean, we use this word, and obviously it is not true. It does, but people say they feel stupid.
Right.
It's just something, it's like so foreign to them that they're afraid to even start. I've heard seniors say, you walk into their home and everything's great. It's like, why don't you get a computer? And like, I'm too old.
Yep.
I'm too old. You know, and we always say also with fitness, when seniors, you're never too old to start. But, maybe the same kind of concept should apply too with technology. You are never too old, and that there are different levels of technology for people, beginners that can also have, enjoy technology. So How do you alleviate that whole feeling of, I'm not going to get a computer, I'm not going to start, I'm too old? Or, even someone who might walk into your class and just say something, I am so stupid when it comes to this stuff.
That is probably the most common expression I hear. They apologize first. And then they say, they apologize, and then they say, I'm really very stupid. And the first thing I do is disabuse them of the fact that they're stupid. This is easier than algebra. It really is. And if you graduated from high school and you passed algebra, you can handle a computer. It's just something new. And the first thing I try to do is to gain their trust. And then I assure them that when I finish with them, they will be less afraid and less intimidated. And I know I've been successful at that, because people have said to me, I'm not afraid anymore. I think I know what I'm doing. Let me tell you how I first started on a computer. I was a writer. I was an advertising writer, and I worked for Life magazine. I had a brand new job as a promotion manager.
Okay.
And I did all my writing on a typewriter. And my favorite typewriter was the Remington Selectric with the ball that went back and forth. And I get this new job, and I walk into my office, and instead of a typewriter, there's this beige box on my desk. And there's something that says Macintosh Plus, and my boss says, this is what you're going to be writing on. And I looked at him. I said, what? And he gave me a brief demonstration, and I said, please get me a typewriter. So he brings in the Remington Selectric that I love so much, and he said, you've got 2 weeks, Barbara. So I figured, okay. Well, I stayed late that night, and I start writing on it, and I hear some noises out in the corridor. And I go out in the corridor, and there are some other writers, and I look in an office, and I see someone using this thing, this Macintosh. And on the screen, they've got documents, and they're formatted, and they're bold, and there's indents. And I thought, oh my goodness, how did she do that? And I walked in, and I asked her how she did it, and she gave me instructions on how to do it. And I went back to my office, and I started to do it, and I said, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I have ever used. And I never looked back,
right.
And I had the typewriter removed the next day.
I think they call that the Mac moment.
The Mac moment,
okay.
Yes. And I can honestly assure anybody who is listening that you will have that same moment. You may not embrace it the way I did. I was only in my 40s then, long time ago. But you will feel comfortable with it. And the thing is that you will be able to do things that you never thought you can do. Here's one quick example. Text messaging. Okay? I had to once fill out a W-4 form. I used to teach. I was a high school teacher. And I had to fill out a W-4, and my sister is a CPA, and she's my accountant. And I had to put down the number of exemptions, and I didn't know how many to put down. My sister was in a class, and I knew that she could not answer a phone call. So I took out my phone, and I texted her. How many exemptions should I put down on the W-4? She looked at her phone because it gave a teeny little beep. She saw my question. She put down the number, sent it back to me. This all happened within 1 minute.
Right.
And I had my answer. Are you going someplace and you're going to be late? You don't want to get on a phone? Just text. I'll be 15 minutes late. The things that you can do with the technology will really liberate you because you'll be doing things that you didn't know you could do.
Right. Right. It's really, I mean, it's amazing. It really is. It's such a great way to stay in communication too, which is so important. So, people come into the class. I'm sure you have people at all different levels of understanding,
right,
different kinds of devices, like you mentioned a flip phone,
right,
where maybe texting could be a little bit more cumbersome, versus a smartphone where it's a little easier. You have more control of the size of the font, so you could see things better.
Right.
So what can people expect? And then there'll be people coming in who have a smartphone, who text, you know, who maybe aren't as savvy on the computer and want to, you know, you'd mentioned Facebook, which,
right,
is, you know, different, very different from FaceTime. How do you handle people in the class that may have a little bit more experience or, you know, to those that feel that they're not really up to par with the rest of the class?
Okay. So as a former teacher, actually high school librarian for 20 years, when you're teaching in a public school, the fact is you have students of all different levels who learn at all different speeds and who learn all different ways. So right. I'm really used to doing that. It's really not a problem. Now, Rebecca used the word smartphone. Let me define smartphone. Smartphone is any cell phone that allows you to get onto the internet. If you can't get onto the internet, you don't have a smartphone. So if you're going to come to this class, you have to have a device that lets you get onto the internet, whether it's a laptop computer, whether it's an iPad, whether it's an iPhone. Okay? If you have a Samsung, I can probably help you with it, but I won't be as good as I will be with an Apple product. So the way you handle people, or the way you handle the situation where you have different levels of learning, is that as you go step by step, you constantly say, is everybody satisfied that they know what we just talked about? And if you bring them along, I sort of call it a scaffolding approach.
Okay.
You start with the basic information, and then you go to step two, and then you build on it to step three, and then to step four, so that you bring everybody along. Now, obviously, there are going to be some people who are really good at this. And if they're really good at this, they're probably, you know, shouldn't be in the class.
To figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe on their own. Or
exactly.
Look, right. Okay.
Exactly. Also, if you have already bought one of these devices, you probably have some idea how to use it. You're just right. Not that good at it yet.
Yeah, I find that. I mean, I have to say that a lot of seniors I talk to that have these really, you know, advanced kinds of devices, smartphones, tablets, what have you, a lot of times they'll say, you know, my son took me to the store, told me that I needed a better phone.
Right.
So got me a better phone, and they're kind of not even sure how to turn it on, how to shut off certain aspects. I know we were talking a little bit about how sometimes people's phones may ring in moments where, you know, at the theater or somewhere. And, you know, if it is an older person, they're not sure how to turn it off.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes they do have these great phones or these devices. I know a lot of people get their parents for the holidays maybe
right.
a tablet, a reading tablet, or, you know, even a laptop. And it would make life a lot easier for everybody if, you know, they got to know how to use that product.
Right.
So
right.
there has to be an understanding when, you know, maybe, I would take somebody to buy a smartphone. There has to be that ability for them to learn how to use it.
Right.
Because that's the last thing, especially seniors in our town, you know, when we have storms and, you know, we encourage everybody to make sure your phones are charged, make
right.
sure everything. But you have to also know how to turn it on and how to use it. You know, a lot of times people have these phones and they really don't know the basics about it.
So let me give you some advice. I'm going to give advice. Follow my advice and you'll be okay. If you are going to buy an Apple product, buy it at an Apple store, not at the provider. So if you have Time Warner Cable, or you have Verizon, or you have Optimum, Sprint, Mobile, AT&T, do not buy the device at the provider. You buy your device at the Apple store. If you want to use an Android phone like a Galaxy or an LG.
We don't want to tell people not to buy things in certain places. However, if somebody were to buy a phone somewhere, could they then go to an Apple store for lessons?
The thing is, Apple has changed the way it does business. So there are thematic workshops, but a workshop with 8 people is not going to be good for you if you do not know how to use your device from the get-go.
Right.
When you buy a device at the Apple store, and I'm not trying to sell an Apple, you can go to Microsoft. There's a big Microsoft store in Roosevelt Field. You know, you want to go to a place where there is somebody who is going to stay with you for half an hour and show you how to use the device and get you up and running. How to turn it on, how to turn it off, how to make a phone call.
Okay. That's good advice. I have had experiences, certainly very positive experiences, at Verizon stores and AT&T stores where they spend time with you. So that there are options there. We are coming to a break, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that talk of the town a little bit later. Our next segment, we're going to be talking to Howard Kroplak, who is the town of North Hempstead's historian and has written some books and done some fascinating things on Long Island, which I'm sure we'll be talking to him about. So we will be back shortly here, Senior Talk Radio, 88.1 FM, WCWP.org.